So, Versa, just to start out a little bit about some general issues in terms of assays, biopsies, and mechanism of action. So, Philip, maybe, and I should mention that I met individually with each of the four faculty members for about an hour. We recorded a presentation that goes through all the data and a lot of the subtleties with each of these cancers. We'll let you know when that's posted as part of this whole package. But Philip, in your talk, you showed this slide talking a little bit about mechanisms of action. Can you comment on it, Philip?
So basically, this is the principle of synthetic lethality, where you're exploiting a defect in DNA repair in the cancer cell, in this case, BRCA mutation, and you're using that to really inactivate completely the ability of the cell to get salvaged by the PARP, and therefore you're inhibiting the PARP. The PARP inhibitor in this case will lead to the demise of the cancer cell. However, the normal cell, which doesn't have that normal cells will be different because they will be affected differently. And this is not only done by PARP inhibitors, but also by the DNA damaging agents, which we'll come back to it later on.
So, Hope, maybe you can talk a little bit about the PARP inhibitors that are out there. There are five that we have a lot of data on, four of which are approved. Can you talk about your vision and how they differ?
That's a really interesting question. I think that we don't have direct comparisons in clinical trials. So we're making assessments based on cross-trial comparisons, as well as a little bit on potency of PARP trapping, where olaparib, talazoparib is the most potent PARP trapper, and olaparib, and then niraparib, rucaparib, and veliparib. And interestingly, in breast cancer, you can combine veliparib with chemotherapy without the same kind of hematologic toxicity that you see with, for example, olaparib or talazoparib, where it's been very, very difficult. So there does seem to be some intrinsic difference. What that means clinically, we don't understand yet.
So, Ursula, I'm curious about your take on this and also a little bit more about some of the mechanisms involved and how these agents work.
So, you know, as Hope just mentioned, veliparib is the weakest PARP trapper. And I think it's, you know, to date has had the least promising results for ovary cancer. You know, we use niraparib, rucaparib, and olaparib. Talazoparib is the strongest PARP trapper. But I think for the three that we use in ovary cancer, there's slight higher PARP trapping with niraparib. But if you look at results for using these drugs as maintenance therapy for recurrent disease, that's where we've got the most comparison. They really appear to perform very, very similarly. So I think that from a efficacy standpoint, olaparib, niraparib, and rucaparib are quite equivalent, with veliparib being sort of an outlier. And we can see that in clinical trials, it's this lack of robustness.
Of course, I guess the issue there is the ability to combine with chemotherapy, Ursula, but I guess at this point, at least we haven't had an approval with that.
That's correct. The VELIA trial that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, presented at ESMO, is still under review. And I think, again, when you compare that trial in the upfront setting compared to the PRIMA study and PAOLA 1, it has the least impressive results. And it's really only when you use veliparib as not just with chemotherapy, but use it as maintenance, where you see the difference. When the arm that looks at veliparib with chemotherapy and then no maintenance is the same essentially as chemotherapy, as carboplatin paclitaxel.
So, Maha, we see the approval now of two PARP inhibitors in prostate cancer and a couple others where there's some interesting data. Any comments in general, Maha, right now about sort of where these agents are being used in the management of prostate cancer?
So like any new drug, when it's in development, we start at pretty much close to end stage disease and we begin to gradually move it up. In prostate cancer, obviously, the phase 3 trial that was done with olaparib was, if you look at the data, it's almost second, third, fourth line because patients would have been treated by multiple lines of therapy. I think what I think is going to be exciting is to begin to look at moving treatments into the earlier stages of the disease. And there are definitely trials right now that are going on in the frontline castration resistant prostate cancer. It'll be interesting to see how the data would compare. What we know is, generally speaking, for most of the diseases, most of the agents that we use, earlier appears to be better. It'll be interesting to see how the story will play with the PARP inhibitors, because in fact, unlike breast and pancreatic and ovarian, this is the first targeted therapy type agent in prostate cancer. And we're sort of getting our hands dirty, so to speak, and trying to figure out how to best navigate the pathway. There's going to be emerging data on some of the additional analyses that we are doing with the PROFOUND trial that I think will add some insights into things. I cannot comment on them right now, but we'll add some insights.
I have heard people say that endocrine therapy is targeted therapy. So from that point of view, I guess endocrine therapy might be the oldest form of targeted therapy. We actually started this company in 1985 on tamoxifen.
Yeah.
So, you know, here we are.
You're absolutely correct. The only difference is one thing about AR and perhaps more so than, say, the estrogen receptor. AR is so dominant in prostate cancer in the vast majority of men. And so consequently, because if you treat 100 patients, 99 will likely to respond. We have not gotten into the measurement of AR to determine which patient are you going to use AR-targeted therapy for.
That's a really good point. So, Philip, I'm just kind of curious, when you look at these four cancers, you know, how you think about sort of the BRCA-ness or the DNA repair-ness of the four, and really where pancreatic fits in terms of that quality and, let's say, sensitivity to PARP inhibitors compared to the others, Philip.
So, Maha said that we had other target agents in pancreatic. In fact, we don't have. This will be our first one, if you consider or not consider the immunotherapy in MSI high patients. So DNA repair defects have been seen in approximately 10 to 15% of the patients with or tumors with pancreatic cancer. And at this point in time, we have the BRCA1 and 2, but there are other deficiencies like ATM, PALB2, and a few others. It's hard to say whether it's much different than other cancers. I think the DNA repair pathways are deficient in across cancers. It's probably a bit more generic than we think. So I personally think that in pancreatic cancer, we're seeing the same biology, similar biology. The problem is that we may not have the same response to the PARP inhibitors as we see in other tumors. And we're waiting for the maintenance trials, which are, for example, in adjuvant setting, to really help us more to decide that.
Ursula, what's your take on that? Where do you see ovarian cancer fit in? You know, we sit back here, we listen to all of you and kind of see, I try to make my own hypothesis. It kind of seems like ovarian is more, you know, there's more DNA damage going on there, just the way that it presents phenotypically. Is that your take?
Absolutely. And I think you sort of hit the nail on the head in terms of the responsiveness of high-grade serous ovarian cancer to platinum. So pre-platinum, you know, in the 60s, you know, women would really succumb to high-grade serous ovarian cancer quite quickly. With the institution of platinum, I mean, that has been a huge step forward. And obviously, PARP inhibitors with its interaction and effect on DNA repair is crucial. So of high-grade serous ovarian cancer, which is the most common subtype of epithelial ovarian cancer, half, 50%, have underlying homologous recombination deficiency. 22% of all high-grade serous have underlying BRCA1 and 2 mutations. So it is a heavily rich tumor in HRD.